back. We ready.
We back. Episode 21, Savage.
21.
Let's get it.
Yeah, true.
Let's go. This episode. Yeah, we got to do it. The whole episode in 21 Savage voice.
Whispering the whole time. Y'all thought I was going to whisper the whole time. Is that a lyric?
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you saying?
We back, man.
Whoever was listening just turned this off right now. They're like, yeah, they're
yeah, they're just like, shit. You know the meme where it's the guy he has like the... Or it's like an image where he has like the headset and he's
takes it off.
That's what
these guys.
There's probably gonna be a lot of that in this episode too, because we got some shit to say, bro.
Spicy, okay. What are you saying,
man? It's been a hectic week. We're recording this one on Wednesday, so this is we're kind of all over the place.
Facts.
Been busy at work. Lots of stuff going on. Yep. Lots of things to think about. So I had to take an extra day. However, we're back with a banger.
A banger.
Bro, it's...
We're never gone for long. One day.
Did you miss us? No one messaged us being where the fuck were you at? And even Alex.
He didn't.
Where are you at, man?
That's crazy.
Bro.
That's crazy.
Oh, man. He's probably listening to this and he's taking his...
He's like, I've had enough, man.
Bro, it's September.
Bruh.
Wake me up when September ends. You know what I'm saying?
We've been in a heat wave.
Dude, like, literally answer this question. Why now? You know what I mean?
I know, yeah, right at the end. It's about to flip.
Totally.
You know that.
I feel like this is the opposite of what happens in, March. You know, when you have a couple good days and you're like, okay, cool, and then it just goes back to snow? This is the opposite of that time. This is like, okay, kind of like... decent warm weather, summer weather, heat wave, intense heat wave, and then next week it's gonna be like, oh, I'm actually chilly. Good. Yeah, like I'm out. Yeah. Get the Canada Goose out. I'm leaving. I don't know, man.
Man, I pray to God it's not Canada Goose season.
I can't.
It might be. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, man.
But yeah, it's hot, man. We hit like, it felt like 39 apparently on Sunday. We had a barbecue and it was just like, you know when there's like a little corner of shade on a terrace and everyone is just like taking turns in the corner of shade. But eventually at night it calmed down, obviously, and then you get that nice like summer night breeze, you know?
For sure.
Which is unmatched.
Which is, it's
those
the
nights
best.
Are up.
It sucks that they're kind of almost over.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I think I made the most of it.
Yeah.
I think I made the most of it. We could talk about that as well, but... something I feel like I want to do every year now is this like end of summer barbecue.
Yep.
We did it last year with the boys and a bunch of people. Like this year we had like almost 25 people pulled up.
I know, I should have pulled up, bro.
Hey, you should have, man.
To be honest, man, you invited me, shit just got in the way. Yeah, I thought that I was going to be good to go.
It'd be like that.
Shit came out of the way or got in the way.
Got in the way. No, it was a good vibe. Everyone's I learned to play Uno for the first time, which is kind of crazy.
Okay.
In 2023, I'm playing Uno for the first time.
How'd you like the experience?
I lost all games, but hey, I mean, you live and you learn, you know?
That's an L.
I'll come back next year stronger and wiser.
There's something kind of nice about like the Labor Day weekend because it's not the official, like, okay, no, summer's over.
Yeah,
like, sorry.
16 kind
of thing.
Days or something.
But it is kind of like nice to like, have a time to get together, kind of like as the summer is concluding, one more kind of touch point with the group before it starts to get a little bit chilly. I feel that.
You know what's funny though? It's like, it's not like there's school around the corner. It's like the next week is just the same.
We're
just
working, literally.
Right? We're just,
we're
just back to the same job, just working.
Yeah, straight up.
But
it's like
back then it was like school's about to start, so everything is going to be different after the summer. But
It's like summer's over. Okay.
Clocking in at 9.
See you at work in the morning. You know what I mean? Yeah, I totally feel that.
You know, how was your Labor Day long weekend?
It wasn't bad, man. You know what? We just kind of like hung out. We chilled. Stayed in the city.
Yeah.
We did a lot of travel this summer. Pockets feeling a little bit empty. So I was like, you know
this
what?
This is when you recoup.
Yeah. We did a little bit of like a staycation. So
true.
Did a little bit of bar hopping. Met up with some friends.
Yeah.
Jill had a trip to Vancouver that she went on Monday for work.
Yeah.
So that's why I couldn't come to the barbecue, transparently.
Oh, man. It'd be like
but, man, it was good. It's like sometimes it's just nice to, like, chill in the city. You know?
Yeah.
I feel like I haven't really done that too much this summer.
Bro, did you hit up the CNE at all?
Not yet. Is it done?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. It just ended Tuesday.
Oh, damn.
I went on Thursday, man, and it was packed.
Yeah.
Packed with people. It was a good time, but I'm just like, I wonder what a weekend is like.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people. There's like a Friday kids running around and ski masks and all that. And I'm like, what are we doing?
Yeah, you know? Dude. And to be honest, it's like not really my vibe. And like what I did want to do was like go on like the little gondola thing. I saw a TikTok where people waited for like 2 hours to get on it for a 10-minute ride. I'm like, nah, like I'm not doing this. Like,
if you got the time, sure. But when we saw the line, it was just like, nah.
It's like, nah, I'm going to go eat like a... and I had a 4-pound taco, flavored ice cream or something. You know what I mean? Like,
they had watermelon burgers, which I was not trying to have.
They had pickled cotton ice candy.
Cream. Oh, cotton candy, yeah.
Yeah, which I'm like.
They have ketchup ice cream as well. Yeah, and mustard ice cream.
That's and I refuse to believe that any of those places actually profit off of that shit.
Yeah.
Like, bro, you had to make the supply. Like, you had to make all that shit. I'm not saying ketchup's super expensive, but think of how much you need to plan for, like, 2 weeks of, like, time at the CNE.
Yeah.
You need to, like, get all the prep, all this. No one's like, okay, shit, we're almost out of ketchup ice cream. Quick, get another batch.
Yeah, yeah.
No way do I believe that they made money off fucking ketchup ice cream.
Hey, I don't know. It's funny because I don't even remember the places that, like, are they all... This might be a crazy question, but like, are these vendors, like the food vendors, are they like owned by, put on by the CNE, or do they operate day in and day out? Because I've never even seen a lot of these names before.
I'm going
to
guess.
A lot of them are trucks, to be fair.
For sure.
So more independent, but.
I'm going to guess the first part.
Yeah.
Where they're like just like a bunch of like, probably like street vendors applying to be part of this kind of thing.
They give a kickback to the CNE.
Exactly. They probably get a share, maybe share revenue or something like that. But anyways, maybe next year. Didn't quite go to this one. But, you know, no ketchup ice cream for me.
Yeah. So your stomach was fine then.
Yeah. I didn't shit my pants. So, I avoided that.
Before we get into the rest, I want to do a bit of like a summer reflection.
Oh, man.
So we do, we talk about our summer every week.
Yes, sir.
Much, right?
Yes, sir.
But, any like standout moment for you, just like off the top of your head without thinking too much of.
Lot of standout moments, man.
I can guess yours, but go ahead.
There's a lot, man. Yeah. And I'll admit, like, this summer was tough. Like, mentally, this is, like, probably one of the hardest summers I've ever had.
True.
Like, transparently, like, my best friend's dad passed away at the beginning of June.
Right.
2 weeks after that, my aunt passed away relatively suddenly. So it was a really tough start to the summer for myself and my family. My dad's brother was very sick.
Yeah.
So it's like, and not to bring down the vibe, but like when you, there's a lot of like really good things that happen in the summer. But like when I think about like standout moments, like it kind of kicked my ass a little bit. It was tough to like keep myself sane and mentally okay with so much going on.
Yeah.
But that said, to bring the vibes back up, man, it was kind of like the summer of love, dude. Like, I went to 4 weddings this summer, and all of them I knew people. Right. So it was like, at the beginning of the summer, it was like my best friend's wedding, which is awesome. You know, a couple weeks after, or like a month after that, was, you know, Jill's brother's wedding, which is a banger. Mm-hmm. We had, we went to a wedding in Sweden. That was awesome, which was super cool. And then my other friend, good friend, got married. A couple weeks after I got back. And like, I will say, like, it was a roller coaster. There's a lot of things. The traveling part was dope. I talked about that. Yeah, it was sick.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would say the entire experience was awesome. Bit of an up and down, highs and lows from a mental perspective. But, you know, you got to focus on the positives. And it was a really great summer.
Summer of Love. That might be the title, man.
There it is.
Of the episode. People will be like, what the hell?
Yeah, there it is.
Did someone get married? Yeah, man. I mean, I don't know what the name would be for my summer. I think I got to get back to that. But probably top moments were like Montreal and New York trips.
Yeah, New York is an awesome city.
You just can't
beat it, bro. You can't beat those.
And I talked about on the podcast kind of what we did and how fun that was. But yeah, whenever I get a chance to kind of like get out of the city and just have fun with my boys and have fun with my friends, especially it was my birthday too, so I was feeling extra golden, you know. But then I love being in the city too, right? Like Caravana Weekend, that was up. Like we always have fun for that. We plan it for like months in advance and shit. Yeah. So It was a good summer. I don't think it was, you know, the best summer I've ever had, but it's no 2022, put it that way.
Okay.
2022 was up, man.
2022 summer was a banger.
Yeah, absolutely. 2016, 2019, yeah. 2022.
Yeah.
Those some crazy summers.
Yeah, man. But even randomly, like, I'm going to throw in 2020 in that, too. Like,
oh, man.
Dude, summer 2020 low-key was kind of fucking hype. Like, it was sick.
Yeah.
As much as, like, it was, like,
I know.
Up and down, everything was closed down. But, like, there was something about that vibe that was really dope.
Man, before we get into the next thing we have, people have been telling me that there's going to be like another lockdown they're predicting. And I'm like, where are you getting this information from?
Yeah.
They're getting them from TikToks. Someone told me their uncle works for like the... I'm just like, let's stop.
It's not going to happen.
Let's stop, man.
No, it's
literally impossible.
Yeah, it won't happen.
Yeah,
you
can clip this if it does happen.
Clip that shit. Justin Trudeau's like, got him. All right, lockdown, boys. Bet. Take him down.
I'm just like, let's be positive here. I don't even want to think about any of that.
Yeah.
You know? But
no, facts.
Of course, I had to mention on the podcast.
Of course.
So you can all now think about it.
Yeah, this is going to have one of those disclaimers that's like, the vaccine information.
Yeah,
is make sure you look that shit up. It's like, we're all supportive of it, but like, no more lockdowns.
Over it. Other part of the recap that's actually just happened. Canadian basketball team qualifies for the Olympics.
Let's go. Yo. And they also made it to the quarterfinals.
Made it to the quarterfinals.
In the World Cup basketball.
Men's World Cup. Yeah. They're facing Serbia, I believe. They have the potential to face
the U.S.
The U.S.
in the finals.
In the finals.
Yeah, man.
That'd be pretty dope.
Listen, I'll say this. Like, as a big basketball fan, if you haven't watched a game out of this tournament yet, definitely watch it. It's nice because it doesn't always have, like, the super-duper stars, like the Currys, LeBron.
No, it doesn't.
Like,
it
any, of those, doesn't. Any of those guys, they're not there. And Giannis isn't playing because he's hurt.
Yeah.
But, like, what I really like about it, even Team USA and Team Canada, it's just, like, kind of, like, the underdog guys who, like, want to prove themselves and get an opportunity. And, like, there's guys shining, man. It's good basketball.
Of course, yeah.
You know? But it's great to see them qualify for the Olympics.
First time since the 90s, right? Man. Since, like, 96 or 97 or something like that. But I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Dylan
Brooks. Oh, man, dude, you watch him today? Bro, so good. He was in the hallway with
with the boxing gloves trying to hit.
You know what I mean? I fuck with Dylan Brooks.
He brings that energy.
Yeah.
We talked about it when he was having his whole villain era, you know?
Yeah.
Back,
people talk a lot
season.
Of shit about him, man.
Yeah.
But, like, listen.
Oh,
like,
I get it.
At least he's
not.
Yeah, I totally understand. But it's not like Ja Morant where he's, like, actually doing, like, stupid shit outside of the sport. Like, he's an antagonizer.
No, it's an entertainment.
It's an entertainment factor. And, like,
he wants you to hate him. He's trying to be, like, a heel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, in the WWE where there's that guy that
totally,
you just love to hate. Like,
totally.
That's what he's bringing, like, to basketball.
Yeah.
We never really had that.
NBA needs more bad guys.
Yeah.
The NBA just
We've
needs,
had that, but not, you know.
You know? But I mean, like, in nowadays,
that's
it's like,
I mean,
you know,
yeah.
it has a different element to the game. But shout-out to Canada, man. Let's bring
shout
home this dog.
Shout-out to Canada.
You know
That'd
what
be
mean?
Crazy,
Let's
man.
Get it.
So I was kind of mentioning, you know, remember back in the days right after Labor Day,
of course, back to school, baby,
you know, you get your books, you get your all stuff ready to go. But I kind of thought about the other day of, like, we definitely have, like, you know, I won't even say young folks. I will say people that are starting,
because
that could be anyone, right? People that are starting, you know, a new program or a new industry or whatnot, going to university, college or private college, whatever it is. Right. So I was kind of thinking, you know, we could give, like, you know, we're seasoned a little bit.
Yeah, we are. It's weird to think that.
We're seasoned.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's weird. And, like,
It's weird.
I know we got to get to this, but it's like, what was the moment where you kind of realized that, like, you are now, like, the guy in the industry that, like, people are looking at and being like, oh, yeah, I want to be, like, in that guy's position, or I want to get to know that guy or anything like that, or, like, where you felt like a vet?
Yeah, that's a good question, man. I think when I did a keynote for BPTN, which is, like, a Black Professional Tech Network, and I'm like, you want me to do a keynote?
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, I've been in the industry for, like, 4 years. What the fuck do you want me to do a keynote? And they're like, no, like, of course. And I'm like, oh, shit. Okay, yeah, actually,
like,
I'm kind of important.
Yeah, like, I'm him. Like, it's a top 10 on him moment.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so threw away that imposter syndrome. I'm like, yeah, if they're asking me to do it, then obviously they see that I can provide value.
Yeah.
So why don't I see that in myself?
Totally.
You know what I mean? So, and then I rocked that shit, man, and I had a bunch of people reach out to me, and, yeah, it went super well.
I get it.
What
about
you?
It's funny. Well, I don't know, man, because it's like, I feel like when I made the move to MLSC, that was probably the biggest, like, okay, I'm changing. Yeah, I'm changing industries. I'm going to a place that a lot of people want to get to.
Yeah.
Definitely more of a senior position than what I was in before. I feel like that definitely kind of catapulted sort of like a made up status kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember like going to, like, after my first year at John Street, where we got invited to like the Humber networking event, and showing up to the Humber networking event thinking that I was the shit.
Yeah.
Like, where I was like an account coordinator at the time. I was like, yeah, like all the people were coming over and talking to me. Like, yeah, like, you know, this is what it is. Like, having drinks and shit like that. I'm like, what the fuck am I doing?
Top shit moment. Yeah. I felt like that too. Yeah.
And you know what? That actually kind of leads into my response here. Advice for young people pursuing marketing and tech programs.
Yeah.
I would just say that, like, the number one piece of advice that I would give someone, and advice that I have given people, is like, don't, like, be yourself.
Yeah.
Like, so many people come into this industry with like the glitz and the glamour and like the drive to like want to like be the best person ever and be overly professional and all this kind of stuff. And this is something that I tell every intern or anybody who's like a very junior person at MLSC, where I'm like, yo, I get what you're trying to do and I fuck with you and I respect that you respect this place enough and me to like act like overly professional.
Sure.
And it's funny because like some people from my team call me boss and I say that every time. Like they come up and they're like, hey boss, I'm like, don't call me that shit, bro. Because like that it feels weird to me. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's like, I guess it's a sign of respect or whatever, but like,
unnecessary.
I was like, this is not necessary kind of thing. Like there's not as big of a gap between us as you think. But I would say like, don't put too much emphasis and effort on like not being yourself and not being someone who you aren't, and like take breaks, give yourself grace, give yourself time.
Such a big thing.
You know what I mean? Think about how many times someone has come into the industry, and probably both of us are this exact same way. At least I was.
Yeah.
When I started out, I was like, I'm gonna go ham. I'm gonna work on weekends. I'm gonna do all the things that it needs to get the job done, kind of thing. And then by like my late 20s, when I was like, you know, a bit more senior, I was burnt out as fuck, man. I resented it a lot, you know? So I'm saying that to anyone who's like coming up, like, don't forget to like disconnect from the job, because we've said this before in the podcast, your job is not who you are, right?
Can I ask you a tough question on that?
Let's do it.
Because I've seen, and I agree with you, but I've seen the other side where folks will look back on their career and say, they had to do that in order to get to where they were as fast as they did.
For sure.
So do you think you would have got to where you were if you didn't really throw yourself into your career in those early days and work those long nights and those weekends and really put in all the effort that you did? Do you think you could have still gone there if you're a bit more relaxed with it?
I think so.
Okay. I love that.
I think so, based on like my approach and my attitude, because the work, like, ethic and the accountability and drive that I have doesn't change whether or not I'm being overly professional or I'm not. I still care about the shit that I'm doing. I still care about the shit that I'm working on, that I want to make the best thing possible.
Right, right.
But I think I probably would have gone back in time and said, like, yo, chill. Yeah, like, it's all good. You know what I mean? It's like, I was so passionate about campaigns I knew no one, or that I thought people gave a fuck about. I put on an act and I was like, oh, like overly passionate, caring, and I feel like in turn that kind of came off as a little bit unprofessional, you know. I was like, I know no one cares about this stuff as much, but I'm gonna go 110% on it, which to me, like, I was proud because like I cared a lot and I was invested.
Yeah, you weren't putting on an act at that point. You were actually, I was super caring, passionate about,
but I think, you know, to answer your question, I would say I would probably act a little bit differently and I would present myself differently.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
the drive to get to where I am today would still be there.
Got you. Okay.
How about you?
I'll take it back to the OG question, which is like, for the people that are just starting their programs, it's like, yo, networking has been the biggest benefit in my career. And I was talking to my friend about that today, of like, genuine connections with people.
Yeah.
You know, like, me and you, we connected genuinely.
For sure.
With our other friend as well. And we created the Mad Mix just because we are friends and we're all go-getters and we all had like the same vision.
Big time.
you're going to meet those people in college and university. They're all over. You know what I mean? You don't have to force it. Trust me, it's going to happen, but you have to be open to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So don't think that you can do all of this on your own. You can be the most competent, talented person, whatnot. You're going to need help at some point.
Yeah, totally.
At some point.
Absolutely.
And it might not even be when you graduate. It might be 5 years later, and someone might have a hookup to a job, and you guys went to school together, or they were – you know, another coordinator at your first job that worked on a different account, but you guys were just cool at lunch together. Or you know, whenever you saw each other. Like, be a good person, be good to people without expecting a reward, and trust me.
Yeah, be less transactional about it and just be real. You know what I mean? That's how I started off. 100%. Because I knew you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what kind of accelerated my career.
Yeah.
Because I finally got, I was in a tough spot. I needed help. I needed a favor.
Yeah.
And you gave me a layup. So it's like, and that's what happened. And again, man, like in our careers, there may be a point in time where you're hitting me up being like, I need this. I'll be like, done deal.
You know what I mean? Bro. Yeah.
I 1000% agree with that point. And I think that there's a difference between coming across as transactional, which we've both come encounter with people like before. Absolutely. And making a genuine, honest, open connection.
Yeah.
Because it's funny, bro. I still work with the same people that I worked with at my last agency, at the agency before, at John Street. I still work with a lot of people in that space. And I'm like, okay, I know you didn't fuck with me back in the day, but like, look where I'm at now and you need me. So we'll see how this kind of plays out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You never really know. And like, that's one thing that I also think changed my career a little bit. Was that I remember when I left John Street.
Yeah.
This is in 2018. I got an email from Angus Tucker, who was like one of the partners Chief of the agency. Officer, he's the top dog. You know, I respect Angus a lot. You know what I mean? Yeah.
And he's a listener.
Yeah, yeah. Is he?
He always checks out the IG and stuff. So
let's go, Angus. Yo, and listen, man. There's a piece of advice that he emailed me after I quit because he was like at a shoot or like he had something else going on my last day at John Street.
Right.
And him and I weren't like super, super close, but we were close enough where it was like we could carry a conversation, whatever it was, right? He sent me an email a couple of days after I quit John Street. And it was like very like, it was a very special note. It was like, he was like, you know, giving me advice, you know, he kind of coached me. He's like, if you're able to kind of like marry your ability to like be around people and be like a people person, and mix that with like, you know, your experience and being strategic and all that kind of stuff in the industry, like you're going to be doing just fine. And then look how that kind of played
out.
That
would warm my heart.
Yeah.
Reading that from like the partner.
No, honestly, like, it was like, and I still have it in my inbox. You know what I mean? Course. I think about that a lot because it was a moment where I'm like, you know what? At the end of the day, we're just like, people trying to get a job done, but when you have someone who like believes in you and thinks about you, and like this is the question that Angus is probably answering as he was writing that message to me,
of course,
right? So it's like, and you never know when things are gonna kind of pay off like that, because that was inspirational for me to be like, okay, I'm on the right path.
Yeah,
I'm gonna use this as a tool and a guide, you know, to get to where I am today. And it's not all because of, you know, being inspired by an email, but like it helped guide me into a place where I felt confident knowing that this is what I needed to do to elevate my game. And I really appreciated that,
man. 100%. Yeah, it's being a good person. You know how much that has rewarded me just in life. But especially at even places like John Street, right? Like doing that extra mile of not working beyond what you're supposed to, but if you have extra time, why not help someone in HR that needs help? You know, especially as an intern when I came in, or as a coordinator, or helping out some of the designers. You know, I have some extra time. Let me lend a hand and let me do that extra mile so that people think positively of me.
Yeah.
Right? And it's not, I'm not doing that just so that they help me out later on in life. I'm doing that because
it's good experience and your
experience. Yeah. And I want to be reliable, right? So I remember even Alex Thoreau, who like headed the digital experience team over at John Street. Later on, when I ended up going into UX, he hits me up because I posted about it on LinkedIn. This is years after. This is 2019, and I left John Street in 2017, right?
Yeah.
And he's helped me so much just in terms of like interview prep and helping my resume and making me skip levels to like apply at RBC and whatnot. I didn't end up getting the job, but it was like, now I know what I need to do for the next spot.
Yeah, yeah. Even
and
that's
all just because we just interacted at John Street, man. Like we were just cool people.
give off the moral of the story from what I'm gathering is like, take every opportunity and bring out the best in yourself and good things will happen.
Pretty much.
Use that in any way you can imagine. But whether that's the job that you're doing, the people that you're meeting, you know, the your own career ambitions, all that kind of stuff, that will manifest itself into some type of positive outcome at some point in your career. Whether it's not today or tomorrow or the next day, it'll happen. And like, it's a great thing.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's move on. We got a lot to cover.
Yes, sir.
I sent you this one that New York has put a restriction on Airbnb.
Airbnb is like let's get into it.
So they're basically cracking down on short-term rentals as a way to address the housing shortage, you know, because shortage of housing, basically having all these Airbnbs has caused the city to raise rent. And that is across a lot of major cities. You could say the same about Toronto as well, right? How they're going to restrict this. So all short-term rental hosts will have to register their property with the city. Only those who live in the place they're renting and are present when someone is there can qualify, which is very interesting because there's a lot of people in these major cities that own hundreds of properties that they Airbnb.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to do that anymore.
It kind of fucks landlords like who do that kind of thing, which is like, good
for you, man. Good for you. And only two guests are allowed. So no major 15-person, you know, massive mansion in Manhattan. Like, that's not a thing anymore for Airbnb in New York.
Isn't that kind of interesting, though? Because it's like, think about, like, it doesn't really change things if you're, like, a couple or, with a friend or anything like that. But, like, the people who are, like, renting, like, these kind of, like, larger scale homes to, like, host a bunch of different people in there.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't that seem like kind of like the wrong way to tackle the problem? Like, those aren't the people who like are causing the housing shortage or like rent control or anything like
that. You'd say it's the smaller properties more so.
It's like the condo buildings. Yeah, I'd say it's like those type of like hotel, not hotels, but think of like the fucking ICE condos here. Yeah. That's the first thing I think of.
Yeah.
Like, that's basically just like a big ass Airbnb. And like that place sucks. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we've all been there.
Yeah.
I've been there.
Been to a party there.
It's greasy. Yep. You know what I mean? It's not right.
I think it's less that third point. I think it's more so the second point that's going to change the whole landscape of it, of like the owner of that property has to live in the building that they're renting out almost, which is like, that's going to change the whole game, really.
Yeah. And how do you regulate that? It's my home.
Yeah.
Like, I can do whatever the fuck with my home.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That doesn't really make too much sense to me. I'm not going to lie.
The fact that it's your home and you can't rent it out to other people?
Yeah. Like, I understand if you're living in a condo, which, like, in New York, like, condos, townhouses, apartments, all that kind of stuff are, like, very common for people to live, like, long-term or for people to purchase. But, like, if someone's renting a home,
yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, it's like, hey, like, this is a detached home. There's no complaints against noise or anything like that. Like, shouldn't I be able to do whatever I want with like the property that I own?
Yeah, especially if I'm not there.
Yeah.
That's what Airbnb should have kind of. I think that's how it started, right? It's like, I'm going on vacation or I'm going somewhere for a long period of time. I want to rent my home out while I'm. Yeah, you know what I mean. It's a little swap, you know, almost. But you're not really gonna be able to do that anymore in New York. So I wonder if this is going to, like, transition over to other cities. Airbnb has been in a lawsuit with New York City because they're trying to fight against this.
Yeah.
They're not winning it. But
yeah, I don't think they're going to win it either.
It's tough, man. We might see a whole change in this landscape of, like, people buying hundreds of properties and making millions of dollars through Airbnb as a strategy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Totally. We're not real estate agents here, but, like,
not a real definitely. Estate. Yeah, you know? But it's, like, it can happen. Which, like, again, like, doesn't really solve the problem. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
maybe not now.
Maybe not now.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Let's move on.
This one's a good one. So this is basically like, remember that like feel good sentiment that we just had on the back to school shit?
Yeah.
This one's going to be a bit of a flip. You know what I'm saying? So this is something that we talked about before and something that's kind of been like the undertone of like accessing information, stuff like that. So when we're thinking about getting topics, we're scrolling through LinkedIn, we're scrolling through social media, we're watching TV, we're going on TikTok, we get topics from everywhere.
Yeah.
And one of the places that we get some of our topics from is Strategy Online, which for those who don't know, Strategy Online, I think the best way to describe it is like a advertising and marketing like publication website where they display industry news, campaigns, branding, all this kind of stuff. And one thing that really pisses me off as a side that I'm not going to get into too much is that like it's one of those paywall websites where it's like you have read one of three complimentary. I'm like,
fuck out.
Shut the fuck up. Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Yeah, and this is where this shit kind of pisses me off.
Let's go.
You can't go on Strategy Online without seeing, oh, this creative team is now at this agency, or this agency is restructuring and is promoted.
This account manager to account supervisor.
Or this VP is going to be a VP at another agency. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing. In advertising, I feel like it's over-glorified for some reason. You know what I mean? It's like, my biggest question is like, why do we do this? Like, and the question behind the question is, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, I don't give a shit. I see enough of this stuff on LinkedIn where it's like, hey, this person got a promotion at this place, or this person is now here. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. But it's relevant to people who I know. And I'm like, even then, I don't really give a fuck. You know what I mean?
What's this for on Strategy Online?
Why is this information? And also, why am I being paywalled to read this shit?
About where someone's going.
I saw someone was like, oh, yeah, this person is now an account manager at Taxi. I'm like, respectfully, I'm not going to name who this person is because I don't know them. But like, I actually don't think this is relevant news for the industry. Like, who is watching?
Yeah,
this?
It's not relevant for anyone except if you work at Taxi. And if you work at Taxi, you've got an email.
You already know. Like, you already saw it. You're like, oh, okay, sick. This person's joining this team.
It's a good question, man, because like, as long as we've been into advertising, we've been reading Strategy Online. So that would, for me, that would date back to like 2015, 2016.
Yeah.
And this has always been a thing. And even then, as wide-eyed and passionate I was about the industry, I did not give a fuck that an account manager went to a different agency.
Yeah, like what is...
I don't know you. Your work isn't recognizable. I'm sorry. Especially, I just have to say that.
Yeah, with accounts people, bro. Especially.
And I'll allow like a creative director going to a different agency. There might be some impact there on like how things are approached.
Sure.
Maybe.
But it's like no one's notable enough. No one here is notable enough, except for like the old boys club of like, oh yes, this CEO.
If it's a CEO, maybe there's some impacts on the company's performance. Stocks, all that kind of stuff. But generally, no one gives a fuck.
Yeah,
And I think it's a circle jerk, man. We want to amplify our importance. And I'm not saying this because I'm not on Strategy Online. Trust me. You know what I mean? Like if there was this tech equivalent and they said that I'm now at Loblaw Digital, like who gives a fuck?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, sick, gonna be like, cool.
Oh, Dax on the move, cool.
This is gonna be crazy.
Can't wait.
Like we're acting like this shit's like fucking trade deadline in the NBA. You know what I mean? It's like, yes, this agency acquired this new VP for two first round picks, an account manager, and future considerations.
Yeah. You know what? Throw the salary on there too while we're at it.
Let's
be transparent about that. Yeah. How about that?
That's what I'm saying. Showcase that shit, man. Like, otherwise, I don't care.
Their years of experience, the salary, who their parents were, throw all that on there. Yeah. I see the privilege.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah. And it's always fucking white people. Yeah. It's always white people. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
the classic where it's like they form a new agency.
Yeah.
And the picture is like four white men and one white woman.
Yeah.
And
shit. For the diversity take, they might throw in. Yeah.
An Asian woman the back always.
The black and white photos. Yeah, so you don't see it. You know what I mean? Like it's all that shit.
That's crazy.
It's just become way too cliche. Hey. Dude, it's for anyone who's watching this or listening to this, go on Strategy Online right now. And if you can go through the front page without seeing like a white VP or director or anything news about this person joining an agency or joining a brand team or something like that,
yeah.
I'll personally hand deliver you $20.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'll double it.
Yeah. Yeah. Double it and pass it to the next person. Fuck. Give it to the next person. You know what I'm saying? But anyways, crazy. Listen, I had a personal gripe with this because I always go on here. I'm like, yo, show me news.
Yeah.
Show
yeah.
me sick work.
Yeah.
Show me, give me something to talk about. That's not an account manager getting promoted from account coordinator in the agency. Like, that's no.
I was wondering, like, the journalist that has to, like, write that.
I know. And, like, dude, imagine.
Kill
that.
Them inside.
Yeah.
Because these aren't, it's not just a headline. This is an article.
This is a full on fucking article. Yeah, this article, is a
full
bro.
Thing you can click and,
like, and, like, digest. Like, it's like, bro, this is like Wikipedia.
It's like, what are we doing? Yeah, it's like Wikipedia.
It's crazy, bro. It's nuts, man.
We need a rep from Strategy Online.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We need listen, guys, you got to clean this up or you're going to be down the drain.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm sorry. If you're paywalling this shit, especially, too, this is a terrible
career move.
Terrible strategy. Terrible strategy. Figure it out, guys. Yeah. Give me something to talk about that's not this bullshit. But
pack it up.
Anyways, let's keep this rocking and rolling because I feel like we – have a lot to talk about. There's a lot of shade in the industry too that we're kind of dishing out today.
Yeah.
So I saw this really awesome article. It was called it was by Jason Last, who we actually worked with at John Street. Shout out to Jason.
Yeah.
Super smart dude. Him and Niall, remember they created their own agency.
Conflict. Yeah.
Hopefully they weren't in the Strategy Online discussion we were just talking about, but I actually fuck with those guys.
Yeah.
He wrote an article that was called Dead Strategies, or centered around dead strategies, and the headline was Campaign Strategies That Need to Die. So I'll read it here. So it's an article written by Jason Last, and he explains, in the world of advertising, a lot of time is spent ruminating on best practices. This makes sense. It's helpful to identify and learn from good things that others have done, but it can be equally helpful to discuss worst practices.
Okay.
So the whole idea is that there's a number of brands who are copying each other, essentially, and reusing the same bullshit strategy that leads to the same bullshit work. Like, how many times? And they listed some of them here. That was like, he cited a campaign centered around, like, your way. So it's like, X product, your way.
Personalization.
So it's like, so it feels like this. And there was like 7 or 8 very prominent brands that had the same thing. It's like, or starts here.
Yeah.
Like, how many times have you been like, summer vacation starts at this place. Cheap prices start here. Like,
definitely.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All that shit.
Run to the ground.
So I want to know from your perspective, like, one, do you see this stuff?
Yeah.
And do you have an example of something that you've seen out there that falls under this stuff?
I've seen, like, calling all understory.
That's actually so funny. It's so funny. Calling all insert name.
Yeah. I think you know where that one first were.
Yeah. Oh my God.
No, but I see that a lot. With small brands, with big brands, it's everywhere. You know what I mean? People just want to promote something. It's like calling all foodies, calling all marketers, calling all whatever it is.
Yeah.
And that's just run to the ground. And the thing is, it's like, I don't want to say people aren't creative, but it's a mix of being lazy, but then it's also like, it works to a certain point.
I think it's familiar.
It's familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would say that, like, it's, I would probably say it's not a result of, like, the creative team, because they probably get put in a box of what we're able to say and do.
Yeah.
But it's like, really, the strategy informs what that ends up actually looking like.
Yeah.
And it always gets to the same fucking path.
Yeah.
My fucking biggest thing.
Oh, which one
is I hate this one.
Yeah.
Is 100% blank. 100% Canadian.
Yeah.
I hate this fucking claim, dude. Like, listen, at this point, there was one point.
Oh, I got another one after
you. Okay, give me yours. Give me yours.
Yo, okay, I was walking the other day, and every fucking, like, restaurant, burger spot has, like, world's best. And I was just like, they're using that strategy of, like, if they, you know, if it's so ridiculous, they can make any claim and it's not actually true, right?
Sure.
But they all do it.
Yeah.
And it's just like, do something else. Yeah. Like, that was funny and that was cool and that, like, was interesting.
20 years ago.
Years back where it's like, oh, they can get away with that?
World's best coffee. Really? Yeah, world's best burger.
It's like, come on, man. Yeah. Let's get over this
This shit's not working, man. Like, going back to the 100% blank, 100% Canadian thing, there are like 1,000 campaigns that I've seen this. And, like, listen, again, 25 years ago, Canadian brands were like, we need to advertise that we are Canadian because that is a product claim. Yeah. Now when I see someone say 100% blank, 100% Canadian, I'm like, yo, this is the only thing you guys got. Yeah. If this is the only fucking thing that you guys can say about this shit, or one of many things that you can say about it, your product probably sucks.
To be honest.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, no one gives a shit about that kind of stuff. And if you do, like, listen, I support... you know, buying local, buying Canadian, 100%. To me, that's just like, it's been instilled in my brain by seeing so many of these goddamn ads. I'm like, I know, I'm good with it. Like, I will buy local. I'm not, this is a, you know, like, can we stop doing these things? Can we stop?
Why do you think they do it?
So why do you think?
Yeah.
I think it's because there's not really any, like, tangible product benefits outside of the fact that you should shop Canadian.
Or I just mean in general, like the overusage of these.
I think it's
laziness. Do you think it's?
Just I think it's easy.
Easy.
Okay. I think it's easy, and I think there's become so much familiarity around these types of things.
It's a playbook of like
that's just, it's tried and true. Yep. Let's not venture anywhere else. Yep. But it's so repetitive and redundant that, like, we just gotta move on. Yeah. Like, can we figure out a different, like, okay, 100% Canadian is a big claim for us. Okay, great. Like, can that live somewhere else? You know what I mean?
Yeah, like a badge on your product or something.
Yeah, like, or that, like, or something like that. Yeah. That, like, you know, reward someone after the fact. But I'll wrap it up. But I just feel like that, to me, that article really resonated with me. As someone who's extremely cynical in advertising, who's worked in advertising, I love it because I'm like, thank you for saying that.
It's going to be even funnier because we're going to continue to see it, right? Like, your way. Even in, like, the branding, too, right? Like, how many times, it's so hard to describe, but, you know, when you see, like, the... You might resonate with this, right? Like, you commonly see it with, like, breweries, right? Like, the established and then the arrows.
You already know what I'm saying. We got to pull up an example of that.
100%.
But it's like First clip.
They all have the same look and identity,
Fucking thing. Same overpriced beers. Same overpriced burgers.
Yeah.
Everything.
Or even these, like, minimized logos right now, the logo treatment, right, where you take away all the personality and it's just like type, it's just text, and it's using the same font, usually Helvetica and all of that, and it's like, we all just want sameness, we all just want to, like, fit in,
but we
want
to be different, but at the same time we want to be different and stand out in the market, and that's, like, what drives me nuts.
I know.
It's like, you can't be different if you're not going to do different shit and lean into different shit,
take a risk.
Take a risk, that's exactly it. And that's why I love TikTok, because it's like, brands have no idea how to figure that shit out. They have no idea. And I'm like, thank you. Like, finally, something that fucking disrupts everything. And, like, people don't want brands in TikTok. Straight up.
Yeah.
Straight up. Unless it's marketed in, like, a stupid fucking way. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the sense of traditional advertising living on TikTok just can't exist.
No.
It simply can't exist and perform well. And if you can find me an example of, like, a good ad that's not, like, an influencer or a creator led, you know, approach.
Yeah. On TikTok?
TikTok?
Yeah.
I will, again, hand deliver you $20. You know?
Oh, like, if they were to play an actual commercial.
Yeah. Because,
you know, sometimes when you're swiping, you'll see the actual commercials and you're like, oh, no.
Yeah. Like,
but sometimes when they really do try to make it fit, like when it's with an influencer or something, and it does actually feel like it's a video you would see on your feed, you're like, ah, you got me for like half a second more, but I'm
not. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, anyways,
be different.
Be different. Be bold.
Do it your way.
Yeah. That's so good,
bro.
That was episode 21, Savage, man.
Yes,
season
sir.
5, man. Yes, that was a good one. We got, you know, a lot of good topics out. A lot of shade thrown. I'm very curious to see how people are going to respond to this one.
Yep.
But I'm about
it.
Shout
out to Strategy Online.
Shout out to Strategy Online, man. We got to talk about this stuff. We got to bring it up. Because if we don't, who's going to?
Facts.
I don't know. But thank you so much for listening. Episode 21. Thank you so much for listening. Have a blessed evening. afternoon.
That always messes it up.
Morning. I know I was going backwards this time, but you know what I mean. Peace.